This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into pudding! We'll tear your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
This is a special edition of Turnbuckle Trash. Hi, everyone. I'm Dave Denton. And joining us on the phone in just a little bit, we'll be joined by Zane Peterson and Christopher Evans. And we're going to be doing a shoot session because we had some things happen recently that we want to talk about. Up first, let's talk about AEW and what happened last weekend at their event. And last podcast, Zane and I talked about the future of AEW and the fanboys. Here's what we said on our last podcast. You know the story of the cart and the horse?
Yeah.
They're putting the cart before the horse. There is so much to be learned about All Elite Wrestling. And I wish them the best. I am so excited for them. But I'm trying to go into this realistically. And I don't think these people that are complaining about the WWE or maybe complaining about All Elite, that they're looking at this as a business and as a realistic business venture.
You know, everybody says, oh, yeah, well, Tony, he's pumping millions into it. He's guaranteed funding. Well, it's kind of like going back to Tommy Boy. You know, you can get a good look at a T-bone steak by sticking your head up a bull's ass, but wouldn't you rather take a butcher's word for it?
You know, I love that movie.
What happens if all of a sudden he decides that the guarantee is not on the box and he pulls his funding, you know?
Yeah. Hey, it could happen, man. There's still so much to be decided about All Elite Wrestling, and you can be excited about it. You can be a fan. You can root for them. You're hoping they're going to be the best. But to think that they're going to make that much of a difference against the WWE, I don't think it's going to happen because what's that first time they're going to stub their toe? Something's going to happen. They're going to stub their toe and their ratings start going down. And then what is going to happen to All Elite and the fanboys and the marks out there? How are they going to react? Will they turn on them? And well, I think they will.
There's WWE fans and there's professional wrestling fans. And there's a far more WWE fans than there are professional wrestling fans.
Are you listening, All Elite fans? Okay. We just heard the piece. And joining us on the phone right now is Zane Peterson. Zane and Chris, let's discuss what happened for AEW.
First, I need to get something off my chest.
Get it off your chest, my friend.
You know, they say behind every good doctor is a even better nurse. So who is your nurse?
Who is my nurse?
You're the doctor. You're the doctor of rock, so.
The nurse of rock is my lovely wife, Teresa. You know that.
Oh. I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole.
She's the nurse of rock, man. Yeah.
All right. It's time for Chris to move over. It ain't Chris on the mat right now. It's Zane O'Mac on the mat.
Oh, Lord.
Go ahead,
Zane. Give it to him.
Chris, are you off the mat, dude? Are you clear?
I've cleared the mat. You go ahead and do your 360 bomb, and let's see what goes on.
Okay. Dave, are you there?
Yes, and I want my ice cream bar, just like CM Punk.
It's time for the pipe bomb, baby. Okay. I don't even know where to start. Oh, slow down. Whew, breathe. The worst thing that ever happened to this damn country is the comment section on social media. It has given, and especially the AEW comments, it has given every, I swear, every so-called professional wrestling fan has crawled out from under the couch or under the, out of their mom's basement or wherever they're staying, and all of a sudden they're like, everybody's an AEW fan. And I'm like, where have you guys all been? Like, you know, ROH has been here, TNA's been here, Championship Wrestling Hollywood, FSW Vegas,
Evolve.
I mean, Hellspells, Evolve. There's so much other stuff out there. It's unfreaking real. It's called YouTube. Check it out. Now, next, okay? Next.
Next.
I'll do an impression, okay, of the comments section of AEW posts, okay? They're like, it's like, and everything you read on WWE, it's like you'll be like, WWE posts a video or something of R-Truth winning the 24/7 title for the 14th time today. And then it's like, you scroll a little bit, and they're like, you know, the WWE sucks. This PG era sucks. We need AEW, you know, we need more violence. We need more violence. We need the Attitude Era back. Okay, so last weekend, AEW has an event, right?
Right.
And there was a rock-solid hardcore match between John Moxley and what was that other guy's name? Yeah, okay. I don't know these guys very well. I'm sorry, guys. I know John Moxley, obviously, but I don't know who the other fella is very much. So sorry to everybody out there listening. I'm on a mode here. I can't even speak.
Wait a minute. Now the AEW on their comment section is going to go, well, this guy didn't even know who John Moxley was.
Yeah, exactly. So we had this hardcore match, and was it John Moxley took a power bomb on the apron or something like that? It looked like it was hurt pretty hard. Yeah, they're like, oh my gosh, you know, that looked like it hurt so bad. If he keeps that up, he's not going to be in wrestling much longer, and he's going to be injured. And it's like, what? Were you guys just like in, like, 2 days ago on the WWE post talking about how we needed more hardcore, more violence? And then let's fast forward towards the end of the night. There's Cody Rhodes. Gets blindsided by this so-called botched chair shot. And everybody said that the chair shot was spotted. It was planned. Something happened and Cody turned a little bit and the chair was a little too low and it got smacked right on the back of the head and split his head wide open. It took 12 staples.
Right.
And Cody's bleeding all over the place and they're having to help him out of the ring. And the AEW posts pictures of the gash on Cody's head. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh my gosh, that chair shot was so gruesome. Oh my gosh, that looks terrible. Oh, it's like, what?
We don't need that in professional wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah. Cody's going to get a concussion. That's going to ruin his career. It's like, all right. So, Chris, what the hell do people want?
Okay. If you all want to back off just for a second, if they're talking about the violence of John Moxley, go back on YouTube and watch some of his past matches in CZW. Watch those. This is the man that had a Sawzall put to his forehead and split open that way. This is the man that was falling on light bulbs, thumbtacks, barbed wire. I don't know what professional wrestling wants anymore. All I do know is there's a bunch of crybabies. That chair shot was money, and Cody knew it. When everybody started hipping and hollering about it, he said, I got you. He took one for the team, and it was a heck of a chair shot.
So, Dave, was it botched then, or was it spotted? Do we know what's going on with it yet?
I don't know for a fact. The former Ty Dillinger, the Perfect 10 in the WWE, was the one who attacked Cody in the ring. It looked to me that it was a little bit on the side of the head and not on top of the head. And that might have caused the injury. You know, who knows? If it was a botch, you know what it was? It was an accident. You know, three words, accident. They are in a dangerous profession. Sometimes accidents happen. Yeah, I don't know if they did it for a real shot or if it was just a botched shot. I have no problem with it.
Yeah, but the Young Bucks went on TV and said the chair was gimmicked.
Yeah.
I mean, they went on air and said that chair was gimmicked. And then he turned. Come on. Why would you do that?
Okay.
Why did you do that?
Okay. Yeah, that is a little frustrating. I talked to you a little bit about this too, Dave. This is frustrating for me too. We talked about MJF a little bit in our last podcast, and I like the guy. He's a pretty good talker.
In the business.
Personally, I'm not offended by language. Like when he drops the F-bomb and stuff, but I kind of wish they wouldn't do that, and I'm afraid that they'll probably have to tone it down quite a bit on TNT.
And yeah.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that in a minute. But here's MJF. I see a post. I watched the video of MJF talking to the media, and he's just socking it to him, slaying it to him. You know, talking about his best friend Cody Rhodes and how he's the best in the business and how he wants to get his hands on Ty Dillinger but he says Tony Khan pays, you know, he writes the checks. So I'll get in the ring with whoever Tony Khan wants me to get into the ring with. And here comes the comment section.
Oh!
Oh my gosh, did this guy not realize that it's not 1980? He doesn't have to be in character 24/7. He doesn't have to do that. You know, kayfabe died a long time ago. You know, what the hell do you want? Everybody's crying for a story. They're crying for a story. So here comes a classic heel. A classic heel. Somebody who mouths off to the media. Somebody who mouths off to everybody. Somebody who crawls under the skin of anybody he comes into contact with. And he gets hit. Now he's criticized for it. I don't get it.
You and Jim Cornette are the same way when he had his podcast about this show. He said the exact same thing you did, kayfabe. No one knows how to do kayfabe anymore. Nobody knows what kayfabe is. And he was critical on this show big time. So I agree with you. These AEW fans are either you just now discovered professional wrestling or you're coming out of your mother's basement with your Xbox and saying, it's time for me to grow up.
I'm going to watch wrestling.
Yeah, you got that right.
You know, guys, I'm gonna say this. Who the heck cares if MJF wants to stay in kayfabe? He's selling a product. It does not matter. I kind of like it, to be honest with you. I hate it when these guys get on and they start explaining everything that happened in the match. How he never touched me. It was fine. The great Dusty Rhodes at one time said this, and I talked about this on this podcast before. When a professional wrestler does his job and does it well, even for someone like us, the smarks, we know what's going on. We understand it's a performance. But somebody like us looks at a match and says, wow, did that just happen? Was that a botch? Did that really happen? Did they really get hurt? Dusty Rhodes always said that's when he thought he had done his best work.
All I can say is, Zane, I've seen the same comments that you've seen all day and all night throughout the week. I wasn't too happy with them. I've gotten on a couple of sites, and I have made my feelings known that, look, Cody knew what he was doing. He turned the wrong way. And when he did it, the chair cracked him open. Let me see you get into that ring and let me swing a chair at you and see what it does to you. And they come
absolutely.
Back. Of course, no man, I don't care how tough you are, even the great Lou Ferrigno, even the great Hulk Hogan, could not take a chair shot like that and not get cracked open.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that kind of brings me, guys, to my next topic along the same thing of what we're talking about. Okay. The hardcore and the PG and, things like that. Okay, so here comes Tony Khan out there. They're talking to him about the chair shot. And he says that when AEW airs on TNT, things will have to be toned down a little bit. And everybody's like, okay, here we go again. I guess I just need to stay out of the comment section. I mean, it's like swimming with the sharks, It's like oh, what a bunch of sellouts. They're trying for a hardcore product, and then they're going to get on TV and kind of have to tone it down. And it's like, Dave, you're in broadcasting. Fill us in on the FCC a little bit.
Okay. The Federal Communications Commission is a government organization that does regulates broadcast TV, including cable TV. Now, cable TV gets a little bit of a pass as far as content as opposed to over-the-air broadcast. George Carlin had his famous comedy routine, The Seven Dirty Words You Can't Use on TV. Now, that wasn't cable TV. It was broadcast TV. How much will they have to tone it down? It depends, just like the WWE, what the sponsors and the network will allow. That's where the restriction he's talking about with TNT goes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like on TNT, you're not going to see MJF out there telling the press to go F themselves.
He'll come up with a creative way to do it.
Yeah, you're probably not going to see Jon Moxley being powerbombed into a bunch of thumbtacks. I mean, even in the Attitude Era, TV-14 stuff, there was still some stuff that was a little bit borderline, but it was like they took the WWE during the Attitude Era took it right up to the edge, and then took a half a step back, and then just stayed right there.
Uh-huh.
Think about Val Venus and some of those things that were pretty edgy.
Hello, ladies.
and that offended a lot of people.
It did.
Sexual chocolate, in bed with Mae Young. I mean,
giving birth to Hornswoggle, yes.
terrible.
Yeah, they had something even worse when they were in a funeral home, and I can't remember who went into the coffin to have sex with the body.
It was Triple H.
Triple H. Okay. And now, if that doesn't cross the line with everything, I don't know what else does.
So where do they go, Dave? What happens now, Mr. Crystal Ball?
Okay. Once again, Tony Khan, businessman, what he was saying is they will be meeting with the network officials and, more importantly, the advertisers, and seeing how far they can push the envelope. Because, controversy is going to sell, but also sometimes controversy scares people. And I'm going to go conservative radio and talk about several people, advertisers, that will not advertise on Sean Hannity, will not advertise on the Rush Limbaugh show, or anything with conservative radio and conservative values, because it's going to upset special interest groups, and they're going to be writing dirty emails and posting things about not using their product, and they're scared they're going to lose advertising revenue.
Oh, yeah, look at where Howard Stern's on satellite radio, Dr. Laura's on satellite radio. There's been a lot of people who've migrated that way because satellite radio has, you pay for a subscription, and that helps supplement as well as the advertisers and because of the controversy.
Well, I've got an even bigger one for you. How about Colin Kaepernick?
Don't get me started on that dude.
Yeah. I bet.
Before we talk about that idiocy from this morning, in my job, in my profession, I deal with different broadcast companies at times, and they do something called barter, where we get their service and they actually pay. They get advertisers that will run on my radio station. And that's how I get certain things brought to my station that I could not afford to pay cash for. And there are several times when they will say, do not run this near, adjacent to, or within 2 hours of certain programs like Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity. And that
really?
Is their right, yes. And I totally, I understand why they do it. I don't agree with it, but it happens. Guaranteed, most people do not know that that happens. There are so many restrictions sometimes on conservative and even to a point some of the liberal broadcasts that some, I mean, I'm sure Chick-fil-A is going to advertise on CNN or MSNBC now. I don't think they'll do that because they are very conservative and they get criticized all the time for their conservative values. And that's just a difference of opinion. I'm not going to make a judgment one way or the other on that at this particular time. That is just the facts of life. Advertisers are scared of losing any potential audience. So when somebody complains, they start doing the knee-jerk reaction. That's their prerogative. I don't agree with it. So that's what happens.
Okay, here's another thing that pisses me off too, okay? The news broke last week that Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff are going to be, you know, taking over Raw and SmackDown.
Correct.
And so this week, you know, we saw Bobby Lashley go through the LEDs and, you know, Corey Graves says, holy shit, on national television.
He didn't say holy bleep like they do on NXT.
Holy bleep!
Yeah. No, this one's blue, and now he's got to have a GoFundMe account for the fine he's going to get.
You know, he might get a small fine, or the W, but it's going to be worth it because of the publicity.
Here's what makes me a little bit, makes me twitch a little bit, is that, like, again, you read shit online. Oh, did I say that?
That's a dollar.
I'm going to bleep that.
That's a dollar fine. That's a dollar fine.
Holy bleep!
Put it in your swear jar.
Now all of a sudden we're reading stuff online. It's like, oh, AEW is making WWE sweat. The last couple rounds have been awesome. So if nothing else, they've been good for the WWE and actually put on a decent product. And it's like, oh my gosh. Do you think Vince even is worried about that little percent company?
No, because here's the thing. If Vince was worried about that little company right now, he would be putting on better shows, which he has been for a little bit. The only reason Vince is kind of upset because a lot of the stars, a lot of his superstars, are waiting for their contracts to end so they can go to better and greener pastures. But the problem is that Vince doesn't care. Vince has got the XFL coming. Vince doesn't care.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that.
Vince has got the XFL coming in. Vince doesn't care. He's got NXT that's the hottest thing that's going right now for him. Vince doesn't care about Raw. Vince doesn't care about SmackDown. Vince doesn't care about tag team wrestling. Vince doesn't care about anything except Vince.
Wow.
That's it.
Dave?
Tell us how you really feel about Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Okay, you really want me to tell you?
This is a family show. Family show. Remember,
okay,
we can't say things like Corey Graves did on Monday
night. Then I'll do it like I did for our Facebook page. Without wrestling, would there be a Hulk Hogan? Tell me that one. Okay, we'll put that for another time.
Okay, guys.
Go ahead.
Go back to Corey Graves and what he said, okay?
Yes.
We've all said it. Zane, you said it by accident just a second ago. Chris, you say it. I say it occasionally.
I said it 5 or 6 times today.
Yeah. It is a slang term. It's a cuss word. Once again, we're going to go back to the great George Carlin on his album AMFM. And this isn't family friendly, guys, okay? I'm going to quote George Carlin. The first cut on the FM side says, I was fired from the Frontier Hotel in Las Vegas for saying shit in a game in a town where the big game is called craps. Fly some Texan in free, fire me, shit. So it is a common word. It is slang. It is harsh. But you know what? You look on social media, there's a lot worse than that. So I tried to say it as little as possible because it's harsh. And some people get offended by harsh words. So, you know, I try to control my language a little bit. I watch a show on the Sci-Fi channel called Krypton. They say that word all the time. HBO has absolute filth in the Game of Thrones. That show is awful. People love it. I don't. I don't watch it because it is filth. And I choose not to watch filth. But I'm not going to tell people not to watch it. So what I'm saying about that word is if they choose to use it, I don't have to listen to it. I don't have to even watch the product if I get tired of it. Zane and I, we've discussed this. We both got a little bit tired of the Attitude Era and the Braun Patty matches and some of the things that they were doing because it stepped over the line. I stopped watching wrestling for that very reason for quite a while because I just got tired of it being so salacious. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I remember when, you know, we've talked about this before, the whole, you know, pre-Ruthless Aggression, you know, with the Chuck and Larry thing. And,
oh, yeah.
And there was some stuff. I was just like, you know what? I don't like that. So I'm just going to, you know, kind of
get
a break for a while.
Yeah,
And it wasn't, I didn't get offended and I didn't. I wasn't homophobic against Chuck and Larry. It's just like, you know what? Until they can pull their head out of their butt and figure out a little bit of a better storyline, then I'll just turn it off for a little bit.
Yeah. Chris?
I don't blame you on that part. I mean, I didn't really like two men, doing the horizontal mumbo, but they were supposed to be. But here's the thing, you just said it, controversy creates cash, and back then they were doing it as many times as they can, but how many times did the WWE cross that line? How many times did they cross the line just for the views? They had to.
Yeah.
They had to do it, because that's what this society is used to now. Go on the internet and see it for about 5 seconds, your eyes will bug out of your head. I mean, look on YouTube. Go back into the Attitude Era where they had Sunday Night Heat and they had these two women in the front row. And Triple H is saying, let's see it. And they actually, and they covered it. I wasn't too happy about that part. But they opened up their shirts and and I thought Jerry Lawler was about to come out of his crown.
Puppies!
I mean, Jerry was just up and down. I thought the man was about to have a heart attack, but I remember that.
Yeah.
But it was that's what made the WWE. That's what made them famous right there and then, because they had the Attitude Era. But now they're trying to bring it back with AEW. It's not going to work. Not with the snowflake.
Okay. Okay, so here's my question for you guys: so which part of the Attitude Era was the reason why it was so successful? Was it the hardcore? Was it Undertaker chokeslamming Mankind through the top of Hell in a Cell?
No.
You know, or was it Val Venus and Sexual Chocolate and D-Generation X with the crotch chop? What?
It was Stone Cold Steve Austin giving the finger to Vince McMahon. That's what I think. I mean, anybody that wants to really, tell your boss every day to go, fly, take a flying flip, I mean, everybody's wanted to do that to their boss every now and then, and Stone Cold actually got to do it. So, I mean, Austin is the one that put the WWE on his back and said, let's go.
What do you think, Dave?
Well, I think it was a combination of everything. D-Generation X did some great mm-hmm. bits. They did some very funny things, too. I mean, honest, you know, we talk about the filth and all that, but some of it was very funny. It was the attitude, and then it was the combination. Okay, we're going to go back in time, okay? Back in time. Think about when this happened. It was about the time the cable TV industry started taking over. They could push the limits. People were not used to seeing this type of programming on regular TV. So they were pushing the limits, and you had a bunch of young people that were, young men especially, that wanted to tune in and see Tori Wilson, and those, Kelly, it was all a combination. It was being in the right place at the right time after the Hulk Hogan era, and then they got into that silliness with Duke the Dumpster and then, you know, all the Doinks the Clowns and all that. Then they found, with Stone Cold getting so popular, they just dove into it head first, and it worked. Monday Night Wars came along. It worked. It was the perfect storm.
Dave, you're a big WCW guy.
Right.
You know, my WCW time was a little bit later than yours. You know, right. Mine was, you know, when the Crow version of Sting started coming out, and the NWO and things like that. So what did people like? So we have the Attitude Era, you know, over on the USA Network, and you flip the channel, like we all did at the time, over to TBS or TNT, and we watched WCW. What did we like about WCW so much? WCW didn't have the controversy and the attitude, if you will.
It was more traditional wrestling because you had four guys, the Four Horsemen.
Mm-hmm.
You're putting up that symbol right now while I'm talking about you. You get Tully Blanchard, Arn Anderson, Ric Flair, and who was the other? Barry Windham was with them a while. Then you get J.J. Dillon with them, and they're out there. And they were kind of pre-attitude because they just took no prisoners. They dominated. The promo work by Ric Flair, you don't get any better. Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard as a tag team were incredible. Barry Windham was awesome. Then, you know, they had members come and go. And then on the other side, you had Dusty Rhodes. You had the beginnings of Sting. You had Lex Luger. You had the Steiner brothers. It was more traditional wrestling. And then that kind of went out a little bit when the Attitude Era came in and the NWO, and then the stuff with Stone Cold and ECW. So that's kind of what happened with that particular time frame.
Well, I don't know why, but for some reason, when I think about WCW, one of the things I remember the most is the Saturday morning programming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they'd give a little bit of some Nitro recaps, and they'd also have those, you know, kind of the lower tier of WCW, they'd have some matches on Saturday, and they'd have the commentary and the guy in the back with the TV screens behind him, and he'd tell us all about what was going on and give us the backstory. And I don't know why that sticks out to me so much when I think about WCW, but I guess that's just something that I remember so much about watching professional wrestling and getting excited about, was of all the things. I mean, of course I loved Nitro. Of course I loved Thursday Thunder. You know, I mean, I got to see Nitro live in Salt Lake City, the birth of Bill Goldberg.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
But I always think about that, and I've told you before so many times that I think that's why I love, like, the smaller promotions, like Championship Wrestling in Hollywood and some of these, is because it brings me back to that Saturday morning programming of some of these guys that I didn't really know too much of, but they were trying so hard to put on excellent quality matches.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have a lot of time to tell their story. They didn't get the time on the mic. They had to tell their story in the rink And that's what I remember. That.
Chris, I'm going to ask you about Saturday morning wrestling. Now go.
Saturday morning at 11 o'clock, you had to sit in front of the TV and watch a true wrestling organization that told true stories. It was called USWA. If you want to see wrestling, it was Memphis. That was the story. But the WCW, I remember WCW back in the day, before yours, Zane, I remember it, the Legion of Doom. Then you had all these older wrestlers.
The Midnight Express, Harley Race.
You had some good wrestling. But then here was the reason why professional wrestling has gone down the tubes. Because we don't see what used to happen back in the 70s, the 60s and 70s and the 80s. There's no more interchangeable organizations anymore. There's only one dominant organization. That's the WWE. Back in the day, all these organizations used to switch wrestlers. That's what's missing. If you could see Triple H in AEW, that's how they would do it. I mean, that's how they did it with Andre the Giant. Hey, I need to have, I need Andre the Giant for 3 weeks. Okay, thank you. I'll give you 2 weeks with Fritz Von Erich. And that's how they would do it.
Yeah.
But with Memphis told a story every time, and I'll bring it up because we always do, the Tupelo, Mississippi concession stand. That was the most watched, and everybody that didn't have a VCR back in the day, they kept asking for that one angle all the time. They would write Studio 5 and say, we need to see this again. Please, can we see this again? That's what's missing is angles. That's what's missing is a story that keeps you on the edge of your seat and go, what's going to happen next week?
Right. And
AEW already has that. It's called the chair shot.
Yeah. And then they would also, you know, the old NWA, AWA days, the territory days.
The territory.
They would share talent like Chris was talking about. They might send a tag team in like the Freebirds for anywhere from 15, for 15 weeks or maybe for 6 months or even a year. And then you might see like the Fabulous Ones went to Atlanta for a while, and then they brought in, you know, the Moondogs would go to Louisville and St. Louis for a while. They would share talent, so a talent who especially wasn't established like a Bill Dundee or maybe a Jerry Lawler, you was always seeing fresh talent, so you weren't getting someone like a Roman Reigns constantly being shoved down your throat because he's the big man on campus, and it's his yard. The only one that could even come comparable to that was Jerry Lawler. It was unusual for a wrestler to be a top man in a territory for as long as Jerry Lawler was. Because even the promoters that were the big men at their territories, they would fall back for a little while, maybe not wrestle for a while, to make it fresh. And that's one of the things we're missing because we don't have territories.
If you want to see a good storyline, go back to YouTube and look up Jerry the King Lawler and Kerry Von Erich when they were unifying both the USWA and the WCCW Heavyweight Championship.
Right.
Watch that storyline. That was perfect.
I don't know. You know, Dave, I don't know why I keep going back to this. I love the independents for that reason. You know, I was watching Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, and I says, hey, I says, we saw that guy last week in Salt Lake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was freaking cool. I don't know. I mean, I guess these smaller promotions and sort of things kind of do that, but I guess it's just not on the scale of the old territories. I mean, we've talked to Manny, and he's bringing a lot of guys in from Denver and from Vegas and from Arizona, and which is cool.
Yes, it is. And you know who's going to be there at Devotion on July the 13th is D'Lo Brown.
You should wear your Nation of Domination shirt, dude.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I need to get out that I'm not upset at the product. Like, I'm a wrestling fan. I love seeing things, you know. I love seeing that chair shot. I love seeing the blood. I love seeing a good rock solid match, you know. Like, another, you know, I go back to, like, Will Ospreay and Ricochet.
Oh.
I mean, you know, it's like Stone Cold critiqued that match. He's like, oh, you know, there wasn't much storytelling. It was just all high-flying, and it was just all moves. You know, I like that, too.
Yeah.
And I like a story being told in the ring. You know, like Cody and Dustin. I mean, we saw some of the build-up to that, but most of that story played out in the ring, in that match.
Right.
And I enjoy all portions and even the comedy. You know, the stuff that's going on with R-Truth right now, I think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And it's enjoyable. And my frustration just lies within, why are we so critical of the WWE and of the product and of these things? Why don't we just enjoy the matches for what they are? And myself included. I'm not excluding myself from that bunch. I'm just bringing up a point of I guess it's just the day and age we live in.
That's true.
Nobody's happy unless they're pissed off.
It's called the comment section. We should never read the comment section.
But the only thing that I have a problem with is, why does the WWE do this all the time? They're fixing to have a match on pay-per-view. Okay, Lashley and Braun Strowman. A last man standing match. Oh, let's just go ahead and have it on Monday night, and then they can watch it on pay-per-view again.
That is a big problem. And Chris Jericho and John Moxley talked about that. I've heard that a lot on other podcasts and things like that. And Bully Ray talked about that too in Busted Open Radio, about the WWE regurgitating the same matches over and over and over and over again. It's like, how many times are we going to see Drew McIntyre Claymore kick Roman Reigns, and Roman Reigns come up with the victory of that last minute spear? I mean, yeah. I saw it live in Salt Lake City, but yet here we've got so many guys in the locker room that aren't getting any time on TV at all. Dave?
EC3. He's not getting any time. You know, they had a match with the New Day against the Viking Raiders. Well, that was fine. It was a fun match, and they made it into a six-way with Kofi coming out and Samoa Joe. And they're setting up pretty good, the Samoa Joe and Kofi feud that's going to take place at Extreme Rules. But I'm going to ask this question one more time. Extreme Rules, will it be extreme? Will each match have a stipulation?
You know the answer to that. Why are you
No! They haven't done it in 3 years. Extreme Rules has about two matches where they have a stipulation. Oh, this is extreme. No, it's not. It's a regular pay-per-view. Give me something that it says what the match is all about.
The last one that I remember of Extreme Rules that was any good was the Steel Steps match.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
That was a good match, dude. Mm-hmm. It was... That was like 15, and was it the Big Show, and I don't remember who else was in it. It was a stipulation, and then when Roman took on the Big Show in the Last Man Standing match, I mean, you know, there is some cool ideas out there. They just, not everything has to be hardcore. They don't have to powerbomb anybody on thumbtacks.
But it could be a stipulation. Where's the hair matches? Hair versus hair match. Where's the loser leave town match? They need to do some more things like that for Extreme
Rules.
Where's
the pole? Where's the pole matches? You know, the kendo stick on the pole.
Yeah.
Just something silly. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm at a loss for words.
Well, you really haven't been at a loss for words yet. I mean, you've given your stipulations on everything you hate about what happened in AEW. I've given mine, and Dave has given his, and we've all had a great little thing here. But the one thing that we really have to ask each other is this. What does the future hold for AEW?
you take this one, Dave. You're good. You've got the crystal ball, buddy.
Okay, my crystal ball is very murky. I will say this, and I mean it with every fiber of my being. We don't know what the future holds for AEW. They've gotten themselves off to a good start, but when is that pressure going to come in where they have to come up with storylines each and every week and building to a pay-per-view? I think they've got some brilliant people behind them. I think they can make a real run at making this a really going venture. Is it going to destroy the WWE? Heck no. It's not going to happen. The fanboys out there, the comment section, go at it right now. Call me every name in the book. Come back to me in 2 years, and we'll see where AEW is. It's going to take a while for them to get their footing and to see if they're going to make any kind of difference with the WWE. And I still don't think so, because as we talked about on the last pod, and we quote the MK Bandit, there are WWE fans and there are wrestling fans. And the AEW fans are more wrestling fans, or also anti-WWE fans. Ta-da.
There you go. Love it. And the last question, and the last question, but maybe not the last question, when are we going to see the Firefly Funhouse actually do something?
Soon, I hope.
I'm waiting. I'm waiting for that big moment. Okay, we've seen the dolls come out with the wrestlers. What's next? Is he going to show up at this Extreme Rules? I say he shows up at the championship match. Huh. At Extreme Rules. I say the lights go out, he comes up with that mask on, and he interferes. And he sets up SummerSlam.
Could be.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Well, as always, Dave, what a wonderful time to be a professional wrestling like fan.
Agreed.
I think your blood pressure went down 20 points, Zane.
It did. It did. I had to vent to somebody, and who better to vent to? And Chris, you can have the mat back for the next show. I'll clean up the saliva from all the spitting and the cursing and the, you know, I'll make sure it's clean for you, buddy.
No problem.
And Dave, it's always great to talk to you.
It's always great to talk to
you. Doctor, go ahead. Sir, do you have a prescription for him for his illness?
Yes. It's Watch More Wrestling. So
this is turnbuckletrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair,
woo!
It ain't Chris on the mat right now. It's Zane O'Mac on the mat.
Oh, Lord.
Ooh. Oh, this is extreme. No, it's not.
I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. I don't even know where to start.
I'm going to watch wrestling.
Oh, did I say that? Vince doesn't care about anything except Vince. Wow. Dave?
Tell us how you really feel about Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
They don't have to powerbomb anybody on thumbtacks.
Oh!